over a little over a year. I don't remember any the time, but I, for 6 weeks, was unable to go to the bathroom. It was called urinary retention. Some of you will remember I once came in for a week or so with a with my Shabbos kapata, and other times I had to use a bag under my clothes. And the fact is, it was a harrowing experience for me. I had had a hernia operation, and which was scheduled, no big deal, so to speak, so they tell me. When it's on somebody else, it's no big deal. It was on me, so it wasn't so pushing. But then afterwards, without my realizing it, I was unable to go to the bathroom. Nothing came out. And it built up in the bladder. It means things go in, you drink, but you don't. You know, nothing exits. And it was indeed a very difficult situation. And Baruch Hashem, after 6 weeks, I was able to have a surgery. A Kaddish Baruch Hu brought me the right person. As a matter of fact, his name was Dr. Poda. Dr. Poda is a wonderful, wonderful man. But I had the nisayon of understanding that it is Hashem is Poda Umatzil. A Kaddish Baruch Hu is the one who redeems and he saves, not any human being. A wonderful shliach, but no more than a shliach. So at this, I always used to give out cards for Ashi Yatsu and all that, because I'm always amazed, you know, with the excretory system. At the same time, somebody said to me even recently, "We're really surprised. You're so careful about Ashi Yatsu, and look what happened to you." And I say to them, and I think myself, it's bedavka, because of being careful, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu gave me the opportunity to really appreciate this whole aspect. And there's no question that the quality of my quality of life, and I'm not a little kid, has changed dramatically in the last year. The quality of appreciation, the quality of happiness, of doing simple things that we're all doing, that Baruch Hashem, you know? So therefore, I just thought of it. I wasn't planning to speak about it, but I just thought, it's a year. It's a year has passed, but not the happiness that I have of being able to do the simple, simple things in life per se. I want to talk about Aleph Beis with you. Aleph Beis is Emuna and Bitochen. Aleph Beis is Emuna and Bitochen. And this Aleph Beis in particular, Hamanti Ki Adaber, that we say, we speak about Emuna and we become stronger in it. When we speak, every time a person says, Baruch Hashem, Emir Hashem, I'm a Maimon, a person goes through other parts which we'll talk about, this already strengthens his Emuna. And the fact is that Emuna Bitochen, we have the Ani Mamins. You know, every day some of us say Ani Mamin, you know, after we daven. In the Haggadah, it's interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is only mentioned once in the whole Haggadah. And then what is that? Vayaminu Bashem with the Moshe Avto. So therefore, once again, Emuna is there, which is emphasized. Now it's interesting. Our way of life clearly is based on clear Emuna. I once said, my wife Alaha Shalom said to me, "Be careful with the way you say this." And I was. I said, "I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God." Don't do that. Be careful. I say, all of you stay here. I don't want anybody to walk out when I say this. You know? Sit down. And then, I don't believe, I used to say it differently, I don't believe that God exists. I know he exists. I know he exists. There's no question that I know he exists. What does that mean? You got the idea. I don't believe. I know. What's the pshat? I know. Yetzias Mitzrayim occurred publicly for all to see. 3,331 years ago, Yetzias Mizraim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, 40 years in the Midbar. Think of this for a minute. Here you have a whole generation of people coming on the scene. Is there any? There's no Shiloh to them. I know Hashem is here. I live with Hashem. He's part of my life. You know, last week I was coming here in the morning. I was running late, so I grabbed the bus half the way instead of walking the whole way. So I grabbed the bus halfway, and just as I walked, I walked from my home, I had to go a quick, you know, detour somewhere, and I came to a bus stop, and the bus just came. The bus just came. To me, this was the 22 bus showed. Just as I walked out. Thank you, Hashem, because I felt that Hashem was with me. He wanted me to be able to get here on time. Fine, very good. That's a personal feeling per se. Anyway, the Midbar though, 40 years, there's no Shaila. 40 years. The fire by night, the cloud by day, the Be'er Miriam, everything is there. All public. And as I mentioned, 31 years ago. And the impression lasts and will always last. It's an eternal impression. Now, I just in contrast, I'm not making comparisons, I'm not saying anything other than contrast. The United States of America is only 243 years old. So America, the beautiful, the great, the this and the that, it's wonderful and all of that. I'm not going into that. But the fact is, we're here for so long. There's a history. There's something which is palatable through Jewish history. 3,331. Where you talk about America, wonderful, Baruch Hashem. Now this has halachic ramifications. The fact of our emuna, our bitochen in Hashem, has halachic ramifications. A halachic fallout, so to speak. And listen carefully to this. It's a Gemara, and Gemara Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Rav Yossi is talking. And Rav Yossi says in the Gemara that the malacha of the 39 malachas, 39 acts of intellect and skill, which are chosen by the Torah, 39 of them, one is soser. Soser means to dismantle. And of course we understand he dismantled the Mishkan. So says Rav Yossi, the halacha of soser, which is osir min ha-Torah, is soser al-menas livnos bimokim bimkomo. Two, in other words, soser, you dismantle, you tear down. But that's not enough. Even an animal can come and smash. An elephant comes in, a rhinoceros, a hippopotamus, whatever it is. In the old days, a dinosaur, a zoozinosaur, whatever it is, knocks it everything down. That is not an isser stira. That's not stira. That is just stam destruction. Soser. And the Yisrael writes, is I knock it down in order to build up. I'm going to build a house here. I'm going to first knock down the old one. I'm even going to build a parking lot. But it's something specific. It is special. It has a constructive purpose that I am putting together with my intellect. And the interesting part of it is, it has to be bimkoma. It has to be in that spot. Because if I knock it down, and I'm going to build up something good later on. But elsewhere, it doesn't have the same same knock as here it is. You see that we are building something in a constructive way, constructive purpose, here where this used to be. Finished. Rabbi says, well, what's going on here? Where do you learn all the halachas of the halachas? You learn it from the Mishkan. What was allowed to be done in the Mishkan the rest of the week, on Shabbos we don't do. But wait a minute. The Mishkan, when the Mishkan was disassembled here, it was always re-erected. It was always reconstructed here. Always another spot. Rashi spells it out clearly as well. Over here, you knocked it down here, you put it up there. So how can you learn, Rabbi Yossi, that the Isser of Soser Minatar is only Soser Ubinyan Bim Komo when you're going elsewhere? That's the Shaila. So Rabbi Yossi answers, a pasuk from Baal Oscha, Al-Pi Hashem Yisuv Al-Pi Hashem Yachanu. Al-Pi Hashem Yachanu Al-Pi Hashem Yisuv. Since it always went Al-Pi Hashem, it's as if you're always in the same place with Hashem. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz gives an explanation, and this is what I'm talking about, the halachic ramifications of Emunah, where now we're speaking about halacha min haTorah. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Jewish people, because of their Emunah in Hashem, because of their bitachon in Hashem, they were always in the hands of Hashem. They were always in the same place, whether they went from here or they went from to here. It didn't make a difference. They were always in Hashem's arms, in Hashem's hand, in the shelter, so to speak, to use, of the wings of the tzeil of Hashem. That's the idea. And it was based on their emunah. But this is a halacha min haTorah. And this is the uptight, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, of Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. They were always in the hands of Hashem. That was it. Which such an emunah, such a clear emunah. They're willing to walk lech teich acharai b'mid b'eretz lo zaruah. go into this formidable desert with all, with everything that was there. Suicide! No, not suicide. That's it. And they went. And Baruch Hashem, we are here 3,331 years later. That's the idea. There is a mushal. I mean, you know, a mushal portion. I mean, one mushal is klor. A person goes travels with his infant. You and I are going from New York to Tel Aviv, from Yerushalayim to who knows where, within Eretz Yisrael. The baby is not making trips. The baby's in its mother's arms. That's the Klal Yisrael. There's a mushal once given, the footsteps mushal, where a fellow is walking in the sand, you know, along the seashore. And there are two footsteps. He's walking with Hashem, so to speak. If you can speak about Yad Chazak Ezrona to you can speak about the footsteps of Hashem. Here he's walking together, footsteps of Hashem. And all of a sudden, they are confronted with enemies, whether they are people or animals. It's scary. Boy, is it scary. And the person goes, and he's like, been frightened. And he looks down. There's only one set of footsteps. Hashem, Hashem, Kaylee, Kaylee, Lama Azavtani, why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me? All that. And the voice comes to him and says, I didn't abandon you. I'm carrying you. And this is the way it's always been for Klal Yisrael. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the greatest miracle that we have is the existence of the Jewish people. You've had it, whether it was really said to Napoleon or whether it's said to other people, believe, how do you know there is a God? And someone said, Your Majesty or Your Highness or whatever it was, the Jewish people. And that's it. I mean, we're here 3,331 years ago. I mean, Pashut to say, the Emunah Shalem, and the more that we have in Emunah, there's no, it's just, our lives are different. It's a life difference. I mean, listen, you could take me to task about that 22 bus. I'm asking, okay, you know. But for my life, it was another chizuk of thank you, Hashem, as long as throughout the day. Thank you. I have somebody who told me that she puts her finger, not her thumb, puts her finger on her pulse, and she says, I said, thank you, please. Got it? Thank you, please. Person feels the pulse. Thank you, please. What an opportunity. My chavrusa Tovi, Silver, and I, this past week, we started in one of our siddurim. We were learning Chayvus Havavas, so we're talking about Hashem and what we owe Hashem. And we said, okay, let's hold our breath. And we held our breath for a certain amount of time. You see, we're still here, so Baruch Hashem, nothing happened in that respect. But we held our breath. And then after whatever time it took, no real heavy hyperventilating then. But the mitzvah is that Baruch Hashem, a greater appreciation. We have opportunities are legion to be appreciated. The ikur is to work on the emunah. A fellow came to see his rebbe, and he says to him, Rebbe, he says, I have an anger problem. Gefurlach, I'm having difficulties at home. I'm having difficulties at work. I'm having difficulties with my chavrusa. Things that they do tick me off. That's it. They just bug me off. That's it. So the Rebbe listens to him and says to him, my wife's not ready with the food. Boom! This is it. I have to. Boom! Okay. She says, listen, step outside for a minute. I want to speak to you. In just a few minutes, I have to speak to somebody else. So the guy steps out. I step in the courtyard. So he steps and he stands near an open window. Can't really hear the conversation that's going on because it's a private conversation. But all of a sudden, he hears the Rebbe raise his voice with the second person. And he hears the Rebbe say to him, please, when you go out, when you leave now, because we're finished, there's a man standing outside. I want to observe him. See if what you can do to get him upset. And then, this man doesn't understand why, but the Rebbe says, do it, he does it. So he walks outside, and then the Rebbe observes. And the first thing he does is he spills a cup of coffee on the man's kapata. Okay, the man holds himself, no explosion. Then the does something else too, and then leaves. Now the Rebbe, come in. Now the fellow walks back in, and the Rebbe says, I was watching you. And you handled two situations that are really not so badly at all, and you held yourself together. Rebbe says, you don't understand. I was seething inside. I was very very upset. But I know that I heard through your window that you told this man to get me upset. So therefore, I was able to hold myself together. So the Rebbe said to him, listen, your problem is not an anger problem. Your problem is an emunah problem. If you realized that what comes your way, that's not self-inflicted, but comes your way, It comes from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, to you, to see how you're going to do. And the emphasis is this: most of the things that happen in our life, or if not most of the is not that things that I decided to do and then something, you know, and the there's a nisoyan. It's how do I respond? How do I react to what comes my way? That's my emes. That's the most. The others as well. Listen, Avraham Avinu decided to go after, to recapture Lot when he was captured. Fine, that was a decision made. But Vayira Ba'aretz, Sarah was taken by Paro, by Avimelech, the Akedah. Most of the things happened to Avraham Avinu. Okay, what's the response? And we have to handle the response as such. But that's the Baruch Hashem. That's the way it works. And when we work on our emunah, just life is different. It's a different level of life. We have a relationship with Hashem. We're always talking about relationships here with Hashem. Always relationships with Hashem. Pasha, that is what it's all about. Relationships with people, with human people, with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, of course. There was a fellow passed on already. He himself did not leave he was a very, very well-known, a social scientist. His name was Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl wrote a book. It was called Man's Search for Meaning, right? Man's Search for Meaning. And in it, he posited the following, which is a Dover portion. When I have more of an understanding of what's happening, then I can handle a situation, almost any situation. If a person understands whatever it is, even something hard, physically, medically, otherwise, a person is able to hold the fort and hold himself together. And that's what we say too. A person understands that life is not happenstance. Let me give you this understanding so you'll hop it right away. The word l'chaim. Chaim. Some of you heard this from me before, but it fits into this. Chaim, ches yud yud mem, has the Shem Hashem in the middle. Yud yud is a literary device to speak about Hashem. Yud yud. What's on either side? A ches and a mem. But the Ikur is Hashem is in the middle. And clearly, with Hashem being in the middle, although I don't understand everything that goes on in the world, and not only that, most things that go on in the world, but I know that Hashem does. And when Hashem does, I have that comfort. I don't know why this is happening, or this didn't happen, or it didn't happen, but Hashem does know. Baruch Hashem, fine. Right? That's Chaim. How do you translate Chaim? Of course, to life, right? Life, L-I-F-E. What are the two letters in the word life, L-I-F-E? If. By us, Baruch Hashem, with our perspective, Hashem. The middle of life is if. What if, when if, why if, why me? When things are going well, who thinks about God anyway? It's not like they daven three times a day and they're learning. No, people in general. However, life doesn't go always so simply as such. You know, if it's flat and simple, the person's dead. But the fact is, if he's moving up and down, and which that's what life does as such, there are times, financially, medically, children-wise, wife-wise, whatever it is, friend-wise, things can become difficult. And then the person, how come? I don't understand. That's life. So what I'm saying is this. When we know that Hashem is indeed in the center of our lives, there is the comfort when we have the emunah and bitachon, and not fools. You know, I tickle myself. I remember dealing with this in Johns Hopkins with certain people at the time that, you know, yes, I do believe. Yes, I'm not ashamed and embarrassed to say that, yes, I have. And there this professor stands, the fact of life is that Baruch Hashem, that we have Chaim and there is the Emunah, and even when things become, you know, things that we don't understand, we know Baruch Hashem, that Hashem does. It's a different type of life. Thank God we have it. I want to go on to another part that we'll use this also, the Emunah and Bitachon. It's Kayetz. This is the Zman Kayetz. We have a Shon Kayetz, right? This is everything. What does Kayetz stand for? Kayetz stands for, you know, and as an acronym, it could, for Kedusha, Yirat Shamayim, and Tznius. That's it. It is in particular, all year long, there's always going to be a challenge to Kedusha, to Yirat Shamayim, and Tznius, as well as other things too. But that's life. You know, the cow doesn't have these problems. The dog, the cat, the fish, the gerbil, they don't have any of these problems at all. And many people in mankind don't have these problems. Thank God, Ashreinu. These are the things that make us into human beings. That's it. There's no shame about this. Now, I remember, you know, we're talking about some of these things. Our son, Simcha Yehuda, he learns with me here now, Morning Seder. He once called Rabbi Avigdor Miller, summertime. He said, Rebbe, what do I do to get past all of the problems of tznius, you know, that one finds in the summer? Believe it or not, even years ago, even when I was a kid, these were problems as well, okay? Not like this, not what you guys have to face, true. But, okay, still in. And he was in between. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller said, you know, three words. Study the pavement. In other words, look at the sidewalk. Study the pavement. And a few months ago, I met Rabbi Avigdor Miller's grandson on his yurt site. And he was going to the caver. And see, he told me, I mentioned this to him, you know, how interesting, da da da. He said, let me tell you a story. Rabbi Avigdor Miller he took walks. He once went with a walk, on a walk with a fellow, and he says to the fellow, I want you to count how many rubber bands you see as we walk together, how many rubber bands. So they finish their walk, and the man says to him, Rebbe, he says, I found 27 rubber bands. Oh, that's very good. So he says to him, Rabbi Miller, why does it make a difference to you about the rubber bands? He says, but Emes, it doesn't. It doesn't. However, I wanted you to keep focused where you should be focused instead of looking all around. Because sometimes you look around and you get messed up. The interesting thing is once it goes in, you know, once it goes in, it's in. Right? Once it goes in. That's true. Time can help, and we can wash it out with Torah and everything like that. But once you look at something, you know, and of course there's a difference between, you know, the first look, which you can't even help. I'm walking, wherever it is, and the second look, okay? Someone said to me, I saw in a sefer like this, but based on a question that somebody brought up, he said, listen, if it's true that you can study the pavement, if it's true that I can count rubber bands, then I should be able to go wherever I want. I can walk in the summer to any street, any place, here you can. You go where I want to go. I'll just study. So you'll say, oh, no, you really won't. You'll really lift up your head. No, I won't. I'll put it in a brace. You know what I mean? It's not going to be a problem. Whatever it is, someone will hold my hair down. Whatever it is, I'm not going to look. Is that okay? You know, because I'm studying the pain, you know, counting rubber bands. So the MS is this, the Sfarim say like this. That when the person has the option and he chooses instead not to use the option of avoiding the problem, but he's going to be there. So therefore, his Tzelem Elokim is messed up, is injured by seeing the Eitznias. You know, that's it. It's a Ruchnias type thing, Tzelem Elokim itself. You know, what is Tzelem Elokim? I don't know what Tzelem Elokim is, but I know that we are, Baruch Hashem, our Tzelem Elokim. We have mamish, the Tzelem Elokim within us. We should never do anything. Chas v'shalom. To mess it up, that is for sure. And the fact is that, yes, it's all a challenge, okay, but we're up to it. But we're up to it. Listen, nobody here I'm thinking of a word, you know, as such, okay, but you're up to the challenge, okay? All right, I'll think of the word maybe. But that's always, I say, sure, we can all do it, and we will do it, and we do it. But just want you to know this, it's not so simple. The Yetzirah is a hard person. It's not a person, a hard being. I heard from Rabbi Corey an interesting, you know Rabbi Corey here, he learns in the Beis Medrash. He's learned so many, he's a veteran mechanech here, a veteran avreich. So he told me a Zah Maisa that occurred, and he said the following. There was a fellow 15 years ago who told him that this person, was traveling to Dallas during Sukkot, and his minig was not to eat out of the sukkah, even though on a plane one certainly can eat out of the sukkah. He wants, for whatever reason, he wants to be machmer as such. The halach is, you're learning sukkah now, person who's taking a trip is allowed certainly to, that's already came, to duru as well. Fine. So now, but he decided not to eat. Across the aisle from him is a guy sitting without a yarmulke, and it says to him, you're being machmer about Chol HaMoed Sukkos, aren't you? He says, yeah. He says, I'll take care of you. When you come, we land, come to my car. I have a sukkah in my car. So the man goes with him. And maybe he was very hungry. And they open up the trunk, and there's a portable sukkah. Portable sukkah, no, push it. Open it up, put it up. Now he has a sukkah he eats. He says, you know, he says, what's with you? Why are you having this? By the way, check me out. Don't accept what I'm saying. I don't like stories that people tell as if they're true. You know what I mean? Either it's true or it's false. That's it. You're in between, a marshal. But I'm telling you, I heard it from Rabbi Corey this way. You check with him. So he says, I want you to, he said, how come you're so machped on Sukkah? You know, you don't seem to be that involved. He said, let me tell you what happened. He says, my grandfather was in the Russian army during the First World War. And he wanted to keep, he was an observant person, and he kept the Inyan of Sukkah. So in the trench, he put up planks or trees and all that above him, and he sat down to eat in the trench, First World War. And one of the Germans threw a hand grenade, and it bounced off the schach, and his life was saved. Ah, fantastic. So you understand why I feel good about Sukkahs. Then he said, and that's not all. He's my father was in a concentration camp. And they also in a concentration camp, unbeknownst to anybody, they took a chance and they towards the, so wherever it was in the camp, they dug a hole in the ground and they put schach on top of it. And when a person had a chance to, he would jump into the hole, go under the schach, and would be able to eat. All right, listen. Certainly, halachically, they didn't have to do that. But the fact is that they figured, we're going to go anyway, most likely. Let's go with the mitzvah, and that's it. Another day, that whatever. That's what they did. And that's what he did. He came back to his barracks and found that the Germans had murdered every single one of the people, the inmates in that barrack. Whatever reason. They didn't have to have a reason. Finished. Had he been there and not in the sukkah, be all over. He said, therefore, he said, this is my, you know, this is my mitzvah. So I'll tell you, it's beautiful to hear about it, and I'm so happy. I did say to myself, Pashas Maisa, so why don't you do all, it's a mitzvah. You see what the Yetzirah can do. It blinds him to all the other mitzvahs. Here the guy could have said, but he didn't, Hashem, I see you're there. There's no Shiloh to me. And he could have accepted everything, but he wasn't ready. Yetzirah puts, you know, a full Nelson on him. Okay, fine. What are you going to do? Maisa Shehoya, I heard either this from either Pesach Kron or from Rav Shvadron, Havdol Ben Achayim Achayim. One of the Israeli soldiers, another story. A soldier, after being in the army, went to Thailand with his friends. It's done all the time. And they're sleeping, you know, in the jungle. Yeah, fine. And the guy wakes up in the middle of the night, and there's a python wrapped around him. Some of you maybe have read this. And you know the python, oh, he's afraid to scream, because if he screams, it could like just tighten up and finish him off. So they don't know what to do. And they're afraid. The guys are now have awakened. And they see him there with the python. And they're ready, and they were ready to shoot the python. Don't shoot the python, because when it gets hit, it'll tighten up and finish. One man says to him, and this was told over, by the way, in the presence of the fellow who then became observant, by the way, by one of the other soldiers. It was told over to a third party. So another person says, here, let me help. So the guy goes, Maaseh Shehoya, and he says Shema. She says the fellow, repeat this after me. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the python lets loose and slithers away. And this guy who's telling it over to the third party says, and he says, the guy who was in the clutches of the python, he did tshuva, he's a full-blown tshuva now, whatever he's doing, okay? Eventually be in Rosh Hashiva, etc., etc. Okay, that's the end of the story. But he says, so the guy who's there says to him, what about you? What about you? You have witnessed this thing that affected him, but what about you? Why? The guy says, it didn't happen to me. It didn't happen to me. You get the idea. It didn't happen to me. Rabbi Sai, claws like this. Yes, we can handle the Yetzer Hara. Yes, we can study pavements, and we can do this, and we can have Monte Kiadabia, but don't think it's simple. Don't just write it off, okay, I can do it. Just know, we can do it, we will do it, we do it! It's a job, but it's worth it, it's worth it. Take it from me. Listen, it's not like I'm telling you something in theory. You're Turkey talking to a fellow in his mid-70s now. And therefore, I've been around a bit. I've seen it. I have had my share of falls, etc., along the way. And Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu, Matel, Chalkeinu, Manoyim, Gerolim. Thank you, Hashem. Have a great evening.